give you a couple of announcements I forgot about. Number one, the Hebrews study, which meets this afternoon after lunch, is studying a particular passage of Scripture today, which is dealing with persevering in the faith, or can a person lose their salvation? Is that right, James? And so their study is inviting anybody that wants to today to just come be a part of that if you've got some questions or you want to dialogue about that today. So that small group just wanted me to announce that. Also, on the table out here in the hallway, there are some papers because March the 4th, we have our extraordinary general meeting. This is for members of the church, so you'll see out on the table there the copy of the budget. Please take one of those if you're a member of the church, okay? And please mark on your calendar March the 4th, okay? And the minutes of the last meeting are also on the table, okay? So please grab that if you're a member of CBIBC. Well, unfortunately, when you preach through books of the Bible, you come to some passages let's just be real honest starting out this morning. It would be really easy to skip over this passage. That's probably what a lot of pastors would do. Let's just skip over this and go on to something else. It's children next week. Let the children come. That would be much more fun to preach on. But when you preach through a book of the Bible, you will come to some passages that you either skip over or you address. And so just so you know, I'm not choosing this passage this morning for any reason, so nobody needs to think that, he's trying to talk to me this morning. No, everybody who's been here a long time knows we've been going through the book of Mark for a long time. This just happens to be the passage that we come to. So my main responsibility before God as a pastor is to speak the truth of God's Word through study and the best of my interpretation. If I'm wrong, I'll be glad to be wrong about some things. But just know that my responsibility is not to just tell people what they want to hear, but to preach the truth of God's Word. But I also want to speak the truth in love. So I hope everybody just hear this from the beginning. If I don't come across as loving this morning, I definitely want to be. So either you'll misread me or I'll get so excited about preaching the Word, it won't come across as loving. But that's not my heart in any way. I definitely don't want this to be hurtful this morning. It is important for us, though, as we read God's Word, that we seek the truth from God's Word, and we be careful that we don't just believe what we hear. Oh, but maybe we might say, well, but doesn't it say this? Or, but doesn't it say that? I would just encourage you, you've got to study the Bible for yourself. You've got to do your own homework. You've got to know it. You can't go on what you've heard or what you hear about things in the Bible. So I encourage you to read these texts on your own. I'll give them to you in a minute. Feel free to take a picture. I'll give you the passages that you should be reading. I've studied this passage for years. I've studied the issue of divorce and remarriage for years, simply because it has affected my family, my extended family, and I've had to counsel people in church. My life is not untouched by these things, so I'm not coming and saying, oh, this is the way it is. No, my family has experienced much pain due to divorce. Lastly, everybody please listen. You should know that the view that I hold and the view that I will express today is a quite narrow view, considered narrow by most people and conservative. Most Christians would take a much more liberal view than I will preach on today. This is where I am currently from my own personal study of the Bible, okay? This is not a position of Clearwater Bay International Baptist Church. I'm not espousing the statement of faith of this church. I'm preaching as a pastor who's studying the Bible, okay? Everybody got that? Lastly, I want to say this. If you want to discuss this more, or if you want to contact me in any way, I'm here over the Chinese New Year. I'd love to share with you in more detail or answer any questions that you might have about this issue. Please just don't get mad at me and avoid me or leave the church and say I'm never coming back without talking to me. In fact, today, as we meet for lunch at the university, I'll have a table kind of over, you know, try to get a table somewhere. And if you just want to come and ask any question and say, yeah, but what about this? I want to ask about this, or what about this passage or something like that? I'm open today to discuss with you any of these things, okay? So I just want to say that right off, because I shudder. I'm scared to preach this passage because I know it's such a polarizing issue, okay? So let's pray together and ask God for help. Lord, this is not my word. I'm not the one who said this. You're the one who said this. So I pray that you would guide us in your truth and teach us. And by your Holy Spirit, that you would just be so present here this morning in such a way that we might all humbly try to learn from your word. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. So the passages that you can take a picture of, I would encourage you to read on your own. I'm serious. You, on an issue such as this, you better do your homework, and you better read, and you better study it in depth, and you better look at the whole counsel of God's Word to try to get it, what it is to where you feel like you are on this issue, because people are divided. So these are the passages in the Scriptures that would look at divorce and remarriage. Okay? Probably might be some others, but not that I am aware of. So let's look at our Mark passage as we begin. Hopefully I'll try to keep on time. May end up going a little long this morning, but I want to read this. And he left there, and he went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan, and crowds gathered to him. And again, as was his custom, he taught them. And Pharisees came up in order to test him. And they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" And he answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away." And he said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." And in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter, and he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." So there are two schools of thought during Jesus' day, two schools of thought on this issue. And one of them, of course, was very strict and very conservative, and the other one was much more liberal. Whatever reason that you had at that time, you could divorce your wife and just give her a certificate of divorce and send her away. But then the more conservative school said, no, you can't do it exactly like that. And that's exactly where we are in the world today. Probably the majority of people would be much more on the more open side, and then probably not that many people would be very strict. But 100 years ago, people were much more strict than today. By the way, the passage that the Pharisees have in mind is Deuteronomy chapter 24, 1 through 4. Please know, I mean, if we were to go through this whole issue and every verse and really dissect it all, it would be like a six-part series. So I'm just going to not be able to go in deep to every single verse. But Deuteronomy 24, 1 through 4 is where they are referring to. And it's a very interesting passage. Let's look at our Mark passage. I just want to look at Mark right now and just see what Jesus says. Just what he says. Not what could he have said, or what did he mean, or we want to know what he means, but we want to look strictly at his words. And I want to give some simple statements and some conclusions that we get from his answers. So let's dive right in, okay? So number one, God's definition of marriage is between a male and a female. You may say, well, that's interesting, right? God's definition of marriage is between a male and a female. We need to say this because Jesus said it. When he talked about Genesis in verses 6 through 9, he said, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. God created them male and female. So Jesus' definition of marriage is between a man and a woman. That just needs to be said today in this world. God joins together a man and a woman. They become one flesh. So that is the definition of marriage that I'm talking about. It's not between two people, but between a male and a female. Number two, God's design from the beginning is for a man and a woman to hold fast. Notice from Genesis, which hold fast means be glued, literally to be glued. That's the sermon title. It's called Stay Glued, okay? Hold fast or be joined, be glued together till one of them dies. Notice all these words, joined, one flesh, hold fast. In Paul's letters, he uses the word bound. This word bound means to be chained. Literally means to be chained. So they took the disciples and they bound them and threw them in prison. It's the same word, to be bound together. And don't go, well, I knew my wife was a ball and chain. That's not what that means, okay? It means chained together. It means held together tightly. God's design from the beginning is for a man and a woman to be glued together till they die. Verses 7 through 9. If you look at your Bible, verses 7 through 9, man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but they're one. No longer two, but they're one. If we look at the full counsel of God's Word in the New Testament, we see this in other passages. So 1 Corinthians 7:39 says, a wife is bound, there's that word chained, a wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. As long as he lives. That's why I said, bound together, glued together until they die. Romans 7:2, a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. So you see these words here that are used, hold fast, joined, bound, they are one, they are glued together while they live. I had to put something in there a little interesting, you know, trying to cut through the sensitivity. While he lives, while she lives, if someone dies, there's a release from marriage. So only God should end a marriage. But number three, the reality is that there will be divorce. The reality is there will be divorce due to hardness of heart and sin. You notice what Jesus said. Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. Sometimes it's simply unavoidable. Divorce is sometimes simply unavoidable. Someone runs off, literally or figuratively. Like a man in my family who was married to a lady in my family, literally went for a jog one night and never came home. My mother. So it's affected my family. My father died when I was 14. My mom remarried. A month after I moved to China, he went jogging and never came home. Married another woman, and he was her seventh husband. Somebody commits adultery. Someone is physically abusive. No matter how hard the other party tries, sometimes someone just says, I'm done, and the marriage is over. That's a reality. Okay, so please understand this. I'm not saying there's no divorce. Okay, I'm saying the reality sometimes is that there is divorce. We'll talk about in a minute. What do we do then, though? What do we do then? Number four, and this is a difficult one. Seems to me that Jesus is saying in this passage that man's certificates don't undo God's joining. That's difficult. Because in some ways it does. But look what he says. And in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. So there's two conversations, one with the Pharisees and now one with the disciples. And they need to correspond in some way. And I think they do correspond. I think they're consistent with one another. What Jesus said about Genesis, I think is exactly he's saying another way in this passage. And in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter in verse 10. Okay, if you got your Bible in verse 10. The disciples asked him again about this matter, and he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Do you know Jesus says some very, very radical things? Jesus is usually more radical than we are. His stance, if you read Matthew chapter 5, it's a pattern of, you've heard that it was said, I say to you. You've heard that it was said, I say to you. And each time it's more radical. Same exact passage. And they say, Moses said you could divorce your wife. And he says, but I say to you. He's always much more radical than we are. And what he says here, the majority of the world, we do not believe. Notice the key words. Very interesting. Notice the key words. He uses the word divorce, which is to legally dissolve a marriage. And then marries another, and then he says commits adultery. Adultery? Why? Why adultery? How is it adultery? Voluntarily in relationship, you know, that kind of relationship between a married person and a person who is not his or her spouse. That's adultery. Well, how can you commit adultery against someone that you've divorced? Because he says, if you divorce, the marriage is over. Well, if the marriage is over, then how can you commit adultery? It doesn't make any sense, does it? I thought divorce made you not marry. Seems to me that what Jesus is saying is that there's something much more deeper here. That the covenant that a man and a woman make together and make promises before God, that God takes that so seriously that a certificate from man doesn't totally nullify that marriage. The crucial phrase in this passage I want to leave on the board is this. The crucial phrase is marries another. Marries another. So if you get a divorce and you don't have a relationship with someone else, you've not committed adultery. Right? You've not committed adultery if you marry someone else and you don't have or if you don't marry someone else and have a relationship. To get the full extent of this of the meaning here in God's Word, we need to look at a few other texts. So let's look and see if Paul, does the Apostle Paul agree with Jesus? Do they contradict each other? Because the truth is, most would say, no, Paul doesn't say that. He says, if there's adultery or abandonment, Matthew says adultery, Paul says abandonment. If you have those two things, then you're free to remarry. You're free to divorce in cases where there's no way that you can stay married. But are you free to remarry? Let's look at the Bible. Romans 7, 2 and 3. I skipped one. So stay there. Yeah, go back to 1 Corinthians, please. Thanks. So 1 Corinthians 7, 10. Now look, this is very interesting. This is exactly what the Word of God says. This is the Word of God. To the married, I give this charge. Not I, but the Lord. That's not the passage where he says, not the Lord, but I. So he says, to the married, I give this charge. Not I, but the Lord. So he thinks since the Lord is saying this, or the Lord said this, I think what he's saying here is that this is what Jesus said. The wife should not separate from her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. He says, but if she does, she should remain unmarried, or he should remain unmarried, or else be reconciled to her husband or to his wife. He says it's the Lord should remain unmarried or be reconciled. Look at Romans 7:2. Romans 7:2 and 3. For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress, or he will be called an adulterer, if she or he lives with one another while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she marries another man, she's not an adulteress. So this is not my words. I'm just showing you verses. I'm trying to wrestle with this. Also, look at 1 Corinthians 7:39. So on both sides of this, on one passage, 1 Corinthians 7:10, he says, married your husband until he dies. You're bound until he dies. And then over here, he says the same thing. Now, the passage in the middle, which talks about if somebody wants to separate, let it be. We can talk about that at lunch. That's in the middle, framed in of these two. A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. If her husband dies, she is free to be married to whom she wishes. Only in the Lord. That's where we get the passage, you need to marry a believer. Only in the Lord. So Romans and 1 Corinthians both say almost exact the same thing. A wife is bound to her husband. A husband is bound to his wife as long as they live. If her husband or your wife dies, you're free to be married to whom you wish, only needs to be a believer. So I want to give some closing thoughts before I summarize this and try to help us remember it in a way that we can understand. So let me give some closing thoughts just to pertain to some of these things. Closing thought number one. You may ask about the Matthew text. Matthew's text where he records an exception clause, which is whoever divorces his wife, comma, except for immorality, comma, and marries another commits adultery. All I can say about that text, it's a very long discussion on why Matthew uses that word immorality. It's not the word for adultery. He doesn't say whoever divorces his wife except for adultery and marries another commits adultery. He says for pornea, where we get the word pornography. It's immorality. It's not the same word. It would take a long time to explain it. If you want to meet over lunch, I'll tell you what I believe that means. He's speaking to a Jewish audience, and you remember Mary was accused of committing pornea by being pregnant with Jesus before they were married. Closing thought number two. Divorce and unlawful remarriage are not unpardonable sins. It's not an unpardonable sin. It's not. God forgives all sin. God is gracious and compassionate. God redeems and blesses second marriages and third marriages and fifth marriages. Totally doesn't mean anything that anybody needs to ever feel like, well, now my life is ruined. No, it isn't. We have Jesus Christ. The gospel. Christ is our husband. Christ is everything to us. He is enough for us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. It's no unpardonable sin. Read your Bible and just look across the pages of Scripture. almost all marriages are bad marriages. Closing remark number three. Let me say that there is one kind of divorce that you should absolutely get. You should absolutely get a divorce if you have been united in a same-sex union. Because that's not a marriage in God's eyes, and you should get a divorce if your country allows that. Marriage is between a man and a woman, and a same-sex union is not a union, but legally it is in some countries, like my country, and you should get a divorce. And you should repent and turn to Christ, and He will forgive you, and He will meet every need that you have and give you eternal life. Closing remark number four, don't give up on God to heal your marriage, whether it's struggling or you've already separated or divorced. Did you hear what I said? Don't give up on God to heal your marriage, whether it's struggling right now, or whether you've already separated or you've already been divorced. Just because there's been a legal divorce doesn't mean that you have to stop praying. Doesn't mean that you have to stop seeking. You don't have to stop asking God to say, God, can you reconcile us? Can you, like Paul said, can you bring us back together? Keep trusting. Keep praying. I've seen God restore some absolutely almost impossible, you felt impossible cases of people getting remarried after they've been divorced. So don't give up. If you're hanging on right now in your marriage, don't give up. Stay glued to your spouse. All right, number five, closing remark number five. One thing that I do struggle with is this. I'll be 100% honest. One thing that I do struggle with on this issue is this. What if two people get a divorce? Like one of my best friends recently, his wife said, I'm done with all of this. I'm done with you. I'm done with the kid. I'm done with this Jesus stuff. I want to be free. She left. What happens when there's no hope for reconciliation because the other person has been remarried already? That's a difficult one, isn't it? What do you do? Can you remarry if your spouse has already remarried and there's no hope for reconciliation? Because they're not supposed to get a divorce so that you can get remarried. Let me be honest. All I know what God's Word says, and I don't know what it doesn't say. What I know God's Word says is that you are bound, joined, glued till someone dies. So for me personally, I'm choosing to stand on what I know the Bible says instead of going on what I don't know what it says about this. So in closing, let me summarize. In closing, let me summarize God's Word for us in a way that hopefully we can remember. It's a little bit confusing. Number one, don't come unglued from your spouse. Stay glued. Stay bound. Stay held fast. Stay tied. Stay chained to your spouse. And keep praying. Number two, if you are unglued, or we could say if you're separated or if you're legally divorced, I would encourage you to seek to be reconciled or to be re-glued to your spouse or stay glued to Jesus Christ. You cannot get glued. I believe the Bible teaches you cannot get remarried to someone else as long as your spouse is alive. I know that's a very narrow position. Seek to be reconciled. Seek to be re-glued. Don't give up on God. If your spouse, number three, if your spouse dies, you're free to become glued to someone else. Free to be remarried. Free to be bound. Free to be chained to someone else with these stipulations. Number one, must be someone who isn't glued to anyone else. Right? can't take someone else's spouse away. Number two, it must be someone who is glued to Christ. So number one, don't come unglued. Number two, if you are unglued, seek to be re-glued. And if your spouse dies, you're free to be glued to someone else. But that person needs to be glued to Jesus only. So I know it's a tough message. It's a tough passage. I'm not saying you have to agree with me. I think that I'm right. And if I'm wrong, then I would happily be wrong in this case. But I would encourage you to seek the Lord and read your Bible. Don't settle for my word, okay? Let's just say it that way. Don't settle for my word and say, oh, pastor said that, I'm going to believe it. Go study the Bible. Study the Scriptures and seek for yourself what the Bible says. Okay? Whether it's hearing it from me or anybody else. So that's Mark chapter 10, 1 through 12. Let's pray together, okay? Oh Lord, I pray you would do a great erasing by your Holy Spirit any words that I have said today out of my mouth which in any way have caused hurt or pain to a brother and sister in Christ. Lord, please wipe it out, delete it, erase it, and only cause your word to stick. Your word to remain. Oh Lord, I pray, please, would you cover any anger or cover any attitude that I might have portrayed today in any way that might cause hurt or pain to our body. And I pray you would make us like the Bereans, that we would search the Scriptures diligently to know what your word says. Guard us, O Lord, from just listening to culture, Christian culture or outside, and making our theological decisions based upon that. But I pray for every person in here, Lord, that we would seek to know the truth and actually be unified in love even if we don't agree. Thank you, Lord, for people. Thank you for my pastor, that maybe he and I don't agree, but I love him so much. Thank you that we can love each other even if we don't see everything exactly the same. So Lord, do your work by your Holy Spirit, we pray in Christ's name.